do this podcast just so you can hear yourself sing?
Mostly.
Yeah, okay.
90%.
Okay, are we ready?
Welcome to episode one of the Making Margin podcast. I am Nick Foy, the founder of Greenway Wealth Advisors. We are an independent financial planning firm based in the south end of Charlotte, North Carolina. And to my right, I have Allie Crouch.
Hi.
That's perfect. Tell us about you, Allie.
Oh, what do you want to know?
Perfect. To my left. No, I want to know who you are and what you do and what matters to you in life.
I'm Allie. I have a husband and a son who is almost 8 months old. And we have a dog who's super fluffy and adorable. And we like to travel and do things with each other.
Wow. That's very specific. Allie works with us here at Greenway. She is the director of client experience. She makes sure that our clients are well taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, to my left, is our director of financial planning. Tell me about you.
Hey, I'm also married. Have a almost 1 year old now. We like to be outdoors doing things.
Together.
Together. We like to hike and travel and yeah.
That's great. He's more interesting than he seemed right there. So the purpose of this podcast, the idea of Making Margin, is that we want to be able to explore ways that we've seen with our clients anecdotally and also bringing in some evidence from the outside world, from the academic world, to talk about how people can create financial margin in their lives. Really, the idea of this stemmed from the Charlotte Agenda, the cash confessional in the Charlotte Agenda. Allie just said, don't say that, but it did. So they do this cash confessional thing, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was actually some feedback to these people, and anyone in Charlotte who's listening to this between the age of 20 and 65 knows what I'm talking about. So they run this thing called the cash confessional, where a couple talks through the way they spend money for an entire week, and it talks about how much they make, and it talks about what they do for work, and then how they spend their money. And I always think at the end of it, it would be so great to have some feedback for these people because they're doing some really dumb things a lot of the time. But there's never any feedback, and I'm shocked by that. So I wanted to create a podcast to allow for some feedback.
Yeah.
Today, what we're going to talk about on the Making Margin podcast is experiences versus things. The idea, what are we spending our money on? And we really broadly have two choices with our disposable income. We can either spend money on experiences, things that we do, or we can spend money accumulating things. And there's a lot of good information about essentially what brings the most satisfaction, what actually ends up making us the happiest. And before we talk through this, I want to ask you guys, Allie, you can go first. I think you have this teed up a little bit. Tell us about a time that you spent money on an experience and a really great experience that you had. It could be a concert or it could be a trip or whatever.
So my husband and I do a big trip once a year for the past 5 years or so we've done that. So those are always my favorite experiences in general. My favorite though was my husband suggested that we go to Thailand. And I said, why would we do that? And he said, there's elephants. And so I said, okay, I'm on board. So we went.
But there are elephants at the zoo. Why didn't you just go there?
Well, because you get to play with the elephants in Thailand. And it's a very different experience.
Okay.
So we went to Thailand and I went solely for the reason to play with the elephants. That was it. That was the only reason I was going. And it was the best day of my life. So it was worth it for sure.
Great pictures.
No extra charge.
You can always tell when you come back from a trip like that, the people that are travelers and the people that aren't. Because what's the first question they ask? Oh my gosh, how was the flight?
It's true.
And you're like, I just spent 2 weeks in a place and I did a million amazing things.
Yeah, and the 15-hour flight was not the highlight.
It was not the highlight, but mm-mm. That's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
Right? In order to get there, you gotta fly.
It's true.
Okay.
And to Asia, it's long.
It's a long flight. Jeff, tell us the same thing. Tell us about an experience you had that was particularly good and memorable.
Yeah. We also do a lot of travel. I think one of my favorite trips, we flew into Seattle and we spent 10 days just kind of road tripping around the Pacific Northwest. And we spent 4 or 5 days in Olympia and did Mount Rainier and Olympic National Park. And we had a blast. It was just a good time, spent a lot of time on the road, but saw a lot of cool things. And
how was the flight though?
No problem at all.
Good. So Reason we're talking about this, we deal with clients a lot and prospects and whoever else kind of comes into our office, and we get to see the way that people spend their money and the impact that ultimately it has on them and their family and all that sort of thing. And so again, anecdotally, we look and we see, well, the people that are actually prioritizing spending money on experiences tend to have more satisfaction. Would you guys agree
that's what we see? Yeah.
So a study that was conducted by the Harris Group found that 72% of millennials prefer to spend more money on experiences than on material things. So that's what they say they prefer. Do you think that's actually happening?
I think so. Well, it depends on if you qualify beer as things. Millennials love to buy their craft beer.
Yes.
Well, that's an experience. You go to the brewery, you hang out with friends.
Then yeah.
Okay. So we'll call that an experience. That's fine. Or at least that's part of the experience. One of my favorite books that talks about this is by Jason Zweig. It's called Your Money in Your Brain. And we will link to it on our liner notes. Is that what you call these? Liner notes?
Show notes.
Show notes. We'll link to these on our show notes. Your Money in Your Brain by Jason Zweig. And basically what he says is that the predictions of what are going to make us happy are really unreliable. Okay. So like the things that we look at and we say, yeah, that's going to make me happy and feel good. And I've heard people say this where they say, I think if we move into that house or if we buy that car, it will make us happy. Have you heard people say that, or at least?
For sure.
And the reality is when you stop and you think, well, it might make you happy for a little bit, but that's not necessarily going to be like lasting satisfaction, right? So the way he says it, he says, take that SUV. When you first drive it off the dealer's lot, it glistens like a gigantic jewel and feels just as fast and safe and soft and roomy as you had dreamed. But in a couple of weeks, that last trace of new car smell is gone. The contrast between your vision of what ownership would bring and the reality of what it has turned out to be will become more glaring. So there's this vision of what we think it's going to be like and the reality of what it turns out to be. So tell me about a time, and I didn't preface this for you guys yet, that you bought something that you're really excited about, and then later on you're like, maybe that wasn't such a good decision. Hmm. And you can take time to think about it. Because it's a podcast, we can go edit out all the white.
Oh, goodness.
We're really cheap, so we don't buy things.
Where did that come from?
What do you mean?
Your inherent cheapness. Cheap? Yeah.
I don't know.
Did it come from your parents?
No. I mean, we were poor, but my mom had very extravagant taste. So once she could afford it, she got it.
Well, no. When Allie says extravagant taste, my mother bought my children clothes from Neiman Marcus on sale. I said, wow, of course my mom went to Neiman Marcus. And Allie said, what's Neiman Marcus?
We saw it in New York. We didn't go in. But I saw the store.
You didn't even stop in to like see what we're talking about?
I knew I couldn't afford it. It was fine.
You never know. There might be something in there that really catches your eye.
In the clearance section, maybe.
There you go, like a pair of socks.
I can't even afford the clearance section of Anthropology, so it's fine.
You can afford it. You choose not to.
That's true.
You choose to put other priorities first.
That's true. Right? I'd rather go on a trip than one outfit from Anthropology.
Yeah, you've changed the definition of what it means to afford something, which is exactly the point. Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff. What do you like to spend money on? What are things you're like, okay, I like spending money on whatever?
Well, I have lots of hobbies. And so I tend to get like really invested in my hobbies like right away.
Okay.
And so like any hobby that hasn't panned out, I could probably put that in like the category of probably shouldn't have bought that thing.
Like what? Like
I got really into tennis for a while, and I had like a tennis racket stringing machine. I strung my own rackets. And so that was something that probably was not that necessary in the grand scheme of things.
How much does a racket machine cost?
I think I got a really cheap one. It was probably $150 or something like that.
How much did it cost to get a racket strung?
About $50. I definitely got my money's worth, but in the long run, probably wasn't worth it.
That's pretty good, you guys. You don't have a whole lot of stuff that you like spent a bunch of money on and you regretted. My wife would be able to list dozens of things that she thinks that I wasted money on, which is probably true. So I'm a car guy, okay? And I've owned like... And when Allie looks at me like, what does that mean? Like, I really like cars. And I've liked cars ever since I was a young lad, okay? And
you just said lad.
Yeah. And that's for our English listeners. And okay. As a car guy, I don't mind, at least in my past, I didn't mind spending money on cars. And so, like, through college, I had, like, three different cars. They weren't expensive, but it was ends up being a waste of money where you're like, oh, I'll just spend money on this car. And it's like transitioning from that into, okay, it's just a mode of transportation that's going to get me from point A to point B. And if I spend less on that, then I'll have more money freed up to do things that are more important to me, was a big transition. And so there's a lot of articles out there now you can read about, like the SUV, which I talked about earlier. Are SUVs ruining retirement, right? Like, people spend a lot of money on cars. And when we are doing a financial plan for a client, we build that in. And I feel like there's a lot of information on the outset when we say, okay, how much do you expect to spend on cars and when are you going to buy them? And you can tell a lot about sort of how people treat this idea of experiences versus things just based on that question. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, when I bought my, it was like the first one that I had bought. It was certified pre-owned. I bought it from the dealership and they definitely oversold me on stuff that, looking back, I had no business like buying. I didn't need insurance for the wheels because what's the chance that your wheels are going to break? But they made it seem like the chances were pretty good.
Right. We'll talk about a little bit more in our next show too, but the idea of like consumer debt. And people have no problem paying $400 a month for a car. Yeah. You know, they go and they finance it. But when we try and get them to save $400 a month so they can pay cash for their next car, that seems to be really difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't know what goes on inside somebody's brain that thinks that, but it's a common issue. So thinking about then memories, right? So sometimes the trip that we take ends up not meeting our expectations, right? Like, we have expectations of a grandiose adventure and whatever fun we're going to have and things we're going to do and things, you know, sights to see and whatever else. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily live up to those expectations. So tell me about a time that you guys did something and you went on a vacation or you went to a concert or whatever other experience and it didn't necessarily live up to your expectations. Allie, you can go first.
So that same Thailand trip, it was about 30 hours of travel and we got to...
How was the flight?
It was long.
It was long.
We got to China at about hour 17 or so, maybe 20, and had a really long layover. So we were there just in the airport for maybe 5 hours and then flew to our last... No, we had one more flight in China before we flew to Thailand. During that flight, that last flight in China, it got delayed. And so we completely missed our next one. And there was no flights out of China for Thailand. So we were stuck in Kunming, China. I don't recommend it. For about 24 hours before we could get out. So I had taken a muscle relaxer for that last one because I thought we were going to have enough time for it to like wear off before I needed to walk around and do stuff. And I didn't. And so Alex was like basically dragging me through the Chinese airport to get to like this place that we were going to. And so I was just drugged up and out of it. And we were in this place that we weren't supposed to be in. And so we had to follow this random teenager who didn't say a word to us, just started walking. And he just like sat us down on the side of the road and said, okay, wait for the bus. So we sat there and waited for a long time. And then finally this van, not a bus, this van comes in that has taken out all of the seats and have put little stools, like little kid stools that have three things inside of it for you to sit on that instead of an actual van seat. So we get in this van, we sit on these little seats and it starts driving and down these like dirt roads, China, and finally gets there. And this Thai family was with us because they had missed the same flight and they realized that we had no idea what was going on because they spoke Chinese. So they like knew what was going on and knew we didn't. So they, when we got to this one stop, they were like, you're with us. Like, come on, get off. So they saved us and got us out and talked to the Chinese people at the hotel and got us into a room and like completely saved us. Anyways, it was a disaster from start to finish. And it was kind of scary because we were stuck in China and like
following
our phones
around
didn't work.
People.
Yeah, following around random people's. Our phone didn't work. None of like social media or anything like that worked. We had no contact with anybody and we were stuck in this random place. And we were a day late to Thailand. Like, it totally not ruined our trip, but ruined the beginning of our trip and all this stuff. And we were so mad about the whole thing. But
okay,
it is,
so in hindsight, how do you...
It's our favorite story to tell. Like, it is the craziest 24 hours of the entire 21-day trip.
What about the flight, though?
It was long.
Tell me a similar experience when something didn't work out like you had hoped and still ends up being a rich thing to remember.
Once upon a time, we used to go to tons of live music events.
Yeah.
And we went to a concert here in Charlotte where the lead singer of Band of Horses and the lead singer of Iron and Wine had like gotten together and done some...
Sounds like a good...
Some weird cover album. And so I was like, yeah, this is a great opportunity. So we went and we didn't...
It turned out to actually be a Band of Horses. And you're like, oh, this isn't what I had... Was that...
We were kind of hoping that they would sing, you know, like a couple of their songs, Band of Horses, Iron and Wine. We went, it was packed. It was so hot. People were just crammed in like sardines. You could barely see the stage. And they played nothing that I recognized. It was just a bunch of like old cover songs. And they weren't even like songs that you are used to hearing covered.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, you know, deep dive into music history that I had no appreciation for.
Do you think other
for.
People there felt the same way?
I'm not really sure. I mean, we left really early because it was just quite unpleasant.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, okay, in hindsight, worth it, not worth it?
Yeah, of course. It's always worth it for the experience. The best part was when we were walking up to the concert, this van comes up really close to us on the sidewalk and stops suddenly right in front of the venue. And the door opens up. And the guy from Iron and Wine just kind of like stumbles out, and it wouldn't have been out of place to see like a haze of smoke behind him, I don't think. And he just crossed right in front of us to go in. It was, you know, an odd, odd little experience.
So this is one of the interesting things where when things, Allie, your story especially, when things don't go exactly as planned, if we're having an experience and it doesn't go exactly like we had planned, then somehow there's a great memory or a richness towards it. Where if it's a material item that we're purchasing and it doesn't go like we had planned, it's just frustrating. It takes a lot of your day to go fix the wheel on the car that fell off because you didn't purchase whatever protection thing the dealer tried to sell you, right? Which is still an amazing thing to me that you did that.
Yeah.
I still don't recommend Kunming though.
Well, no, you don't recommend it, but what you would have nothing to talk about if you just went to Thailand and swam with elephants.
Nothing.
Do they swim? Is that what you do?
No, they just stand in the water.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You still have not told a story.
Oh, my story. So here's my experience. So my wife's grandfather, he is now 93, and he basically decided that he was going to take my wife's inheritance and her other cousin's inheritance, and instead of like giving it to them, he was going to take them on adventures all over the world. So he's a child of the Depression. And to the point where when you go over to his house, they'd have like shampoo bottles from the hotel and ketchup packets from McDonald's because they don't want to pay for shampoo and ketchup packets. And instead they took that money that they would have spent on those and they'd put it towards travel, right? And when we got married, then all of a sudden I'm invited on these trips too. So we were in India and we were at the Taj Mahal. And the Taj Mahal is a brilliant place to visit, but this is middle of July, I think. It's June or July. We'll call it July. It was July. July in India is really hot. Like in Charlotte, it gets hot. In India, it gets like hotter. And my mother-in-law passed out at the Taj Mahal. Like they were pushing her around in a wheelchair because she had passed out at the Taj Mahal because it was so hot. And we've been on a hot bus to get there. And I will always remember this of her watching her get pushed in the wheelchair because she had passed out. Now at the time, well, at the time I was actually enjoying it too, but I didn't enjoy watching her pass out. I wish she had felt better and enjoyed the Taj Mahal with us. But at the time, this is really terrible. She's passed out at the Taj Mahal. In retrospect, it was really amazing, even though it's so hot and crazy and there are monkeys jumping around everywhere. And the Taj Mahal is a really amazing, interesting place. And I wish it would have been 75 degrees and, you know, slightly overcast. It would have been a more enjoyable experience at the time. But in retrospect, making it 110 degrees and having your mother-in-law pass out of the Taj Mahal isn't a terrible thing. It was really wonderful. I think she would laugh about it now even. And we sit around and we tell stories about this, about how even though she passed out of the Taj Mahal, it was still a really enjoyable thing. And might even have made it better and more memorable than had we been there without that happening.
I think there's something about a trauma that makes it stick.
As long as it's not like, as long as everybody, nobody's injured or dies.
I just want to point out that you said it was wonderful that she passed out.
Well, I didn't mean wonderful.
That was the word that you used.
I didn't mean it more memorable.
It made it more memorable.
Wonderful.
Not wonderful, especially for her sake. It was not wonderful. And maybe she didn't have the same experience as I did, but I thought it
made, but for you, it was wonderful.
Well, I mean, I don't want to see her pass out, but she was fine and everyone was fine. And so as long as everyone's fine,
it was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What doesn't kill you makes the experience stronger.
That's right. Exactly. So as we conclude, we just want to talk about the idea of experiences versus things and how do you actually make this happen, right? So a thing that we talk about with a lot of our clients is systematizing. So how do you systematize and think ahead of time about saving very specific amounts into funds that you know are going to be directed towards a very specific topic? And that topic could be broadly travel or experiences, or it could be a specific trip that you're planning at some point. And I do think too, it actually enhances the experience when we know we've taken some time to plan for it and to save specific amounts in order to get to the point. So you say, okay, 5 years from now is going to be my That doesn't make sense. That's my 18th wedding anniversary. 7 years from now is my 20th wedding anniversary. So I'd like to do something really special for my wife for our 20th wedding anniversary. So now would be a great time to start saving an amount, because it's going to cost me less to save an amount 7 years ahead of time than it would be 3 years ahead of time for that 20th anniversary trip. And then when the trip comes, I have no guilt about actually spending the money towards that thing, because
I
know
you've had the added anticipation of planning it and saving for it.
Yeah.
Which adds to the experience.
Absolutely. She hates surprises. My wife does, because of the anticipation. She doesn't want me to surprise her with a trip. She wants to be in on it and planning it and thinking through in her mind, what's this going to look like? And the great thing is, as we talked about before, what we think it's going to look like and what it's actually going to look like could be really different from each other. And that doesn't necessarily make the experience any worse, unless we're stuck on the ground in Charlotte because American can't get us to our destination.
That sounds more like United.
Anything else you guys want to add to that?
I was just going to say the experiences also don't have to be trips to Thailand or the Taj Mahal.
Completely. I think that's totally true, is that the more we can add on little experiences, even if they aren't trips around the world. If we go camping for a weekend instead of going to China, we can have an amazing experience without
probably,
having to go very far.
Probably better than Kunming, actually.
Potentially better than Kunming, and without as much of a threat of being kidnapped by a random Thai family. So great. Thanks for joining us today on the Making Margin podcast, episode 1. It'll get better as time goes on, I promise. But no, the conversations that we have are going to be about things that we think that are important based on the experiences that we've had and people that we've talked to, and we hope you enjoy them too. So thanks very much for listening.